Well, it's a big day for El Paso as the vice president makes her way to town.
Yeah, so I think your audience may remember that President Biden has placed Vice President Harris in charge of dealing with the Central American migration issues that we're facing. And she's been to Guatemala and Mexico. And this is her first trip to the U.S.-Mexico border as vice president. And it's something that Republicans have been calling for quite some time. And they've been using her absence from the border as a cudgel to sort of hammer the Biden administration. So she picked El Paso to visit. We don't have a whole lot of details on what she'll be doing here, which is not unusual for these kinds of events. But she'll certainly get a look at what's happening right at the border, and then probably hear from some of the humanitarian groups that are working on the front lines to help with the challenges.
And it remains to be seen what will happen across Texas as the governor has ordered the state-licensed facilities that care for migrant children to close. But, of course, there is a big one at Fort Bliss, and they need a lot of child care workers to take care of those kids. And that just has a ripple effect for child care issues that were already in existence. It's a complicated situation.
It is. And just to remind your audience, the largest shelter for children who arrive at the border without a parent or guardian is a tent facility at Fort Bliss. It's housed as many as 5,000 children. Currently, there are probably about 2,300. So that requires a lot of child care providers to be out there. And guess where they found those child care providers? They found them at nonprofits like the YWCA and local daycare providers. So federal government is paying much higher wages for child care, about $17 an hour, which is about double the market rate right now in El Paso for child care. So this has exacerbated a longstanding problem in El Paso, which is a big lack of child care available for working parents. And because of the decline in available workers, that a lot of parents are having a hard time finding child care, which also means that they can't go back to work until they find a place to care for their children. So this has a big economic impact on El Paso as a whole. It's also very disruptive to the families who can't find child care. It's an unforeseen consequence of how the U.S. government has chosen to respond to what is a hemispheric migration challenge, largely from Central America, but it's impacting El Paso families directly now.
Well, and now those families don't have an option, don't have the additional federal unemployment benefits, and so they're really stuck in a tight position.
It is challenging. One helpful thing that's coming in, that same bill that provided the extra unemployment benefits also provided a pretty huge infusion of money for child care providers, and that should start arriving in the next few weeks, and that should help make more child care available and also help raise the pay of child care workers. I think we shouldn't overlook that $8 an hour, which is what child care workers are generally making in El Paso, is not a good wage and not a livable wage in El Paso, but it's since it's mostly a nonprofit business, that's what they can afford.
I see. The Texas-Mexico border had higher COVID-19 death rates than other areas. What can you tell us about that?
Renee Klajic, a reporter who covers a lot of immigration and COVID issues for us, worked with Kaiser Health News, which is one of the really great resources for quality health news in the country, to answer the question of why was the death rate in El Paso and other Texas border communities so much worse? And especially if you just compare El Paso and Las Cruces, which is sort of this natural experiment, the death toll in El Paso on a per capita basis was significantly higher than it was in Doñana County. So why is that? And some of the conclusions that the experts come to are that Texas did not expand Medicaid when Obamacare rolled out, and New Mexico did. So far more people in New Mexico have health insurance than they do in Texas. And then also New Mexico was much more restrictive in how it reopened the economy at the height of the pandemic. So there are a variety of issues that come into play. But the end result is that the death rate in El Paso and other Texas border counties was multiple times higher than it was in the rest of the country. It's just a real tragedy that has its foundation in policy choices that governments have made over the years.
You can find these stories and more at ElPasoMatters.org. Bob, thank you for the update.
Thank you very much, and have a good weekend.